All right, so there were a couple questions that came through that are relevant to Inner Resource. So I thought I'd take those really quickly. I would love to bring you forward, but this morning, because I have a lot to cover in 45 minutes, I think I'll just answer these. And then, but do know that we'll have plenty of time for Q&A at various times throughout the course of the training. So I'm just trying to do a little, okay. So let's see, this says, can the inner resource change and be different now from the past? And can there be more than one? So hopefully what I shared earlier shed some light on this question. While images may change, and those are really just the bridge or the portal, but eventually what people are landing on, even though at first it'll feel like their inner resource is changing, what they're doing is they're just finding ways to access the felt sense. So once we anchor into that felt sense of the inner resource, over time, it likely will not change, especially when we get to the more of the ground of the inner resource, which is being and awareness, that's unchanging. So hopefully what people find is, you know, Jennifer did a lovely job talking about there's some semblance of well-being, right? And that could be, there are different avenues in. For some people, it's going to be peace. For some people, it's going to be ease. For some people, it's going to be ground. Everybody will have their different words. You all threw in some words last night. But there's a difference between even peace. We want to know. Peace is more conceptual. What's the visceral felt sense of peace in the body, right? Now we're getting at a smoothness or a softness or an openness and expansiveness. So eventually people will find that that felt sense of the inner resource is stable, it's anchored, and it's there again and again. And that likely won't change. And it may mature and deepen, but then especially as they drop into being in awareness, that's unchanging. So does that answer the question? I hope so. Again. And somebody was sharing that they've identified the breath as an inner resource. How's that work with pranayama being a separate step? Well, you've just interwoven your inner resource with the breath. So that just means that when you do pranayama, you just get a little deepening extension of inner resource. So if that links right in, you know, great, no problem. And you get to weave it in if you decide to breathe a certain way throughout your day. And not a problem. That the breath then will be your portal, right? The felt sense then is where you're really landing into the inner resource. Great. Okay. Well, we'll take maybe some more questions later, but I wanted to go ahead and move us into another segment this morning. So I'm going to start off by talking about how eye rest is related and is a practice of mindfulness, but people describe it as mindfulness on steroids, or we're taking mindfulness and we're really expanding it. And so I do have the three phases of mindfulness, and I believe Kajal, if you could bring that up on screen, that would be super. Thank you so much. So we've got three phases of mindfulness, and we're going to talk about one this morning, and then we'll talk about the second phase tomorrow and the third phase later on this week. So the first phase is concentration or attention training. And that's understood as dharana in yoga, where we're there's eight limbs to yoga, and the latter four limbs are the inward turn, and that's really the practice of meditation. And we've got dharana, where we're starting to focus our attention and develop concentration. So that's the first phase. So that concentration and attention training is the first phase of mindfulness. Now, in our practices, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at how we're moving attention. And at first, it'll feel like you're moving attention towards something. So oftentimes in meditation, it'll feel like, especially if your eyes are closed, that you're looking down at different parts of your body, right? So as we're focusing, and we're going to be opening into Anamaya Kosha here in a little bit, That's the body of physical sensations, right? Body sensing. And a lot of times when we're body sensing, it'll feel like our inner eyes are looking down. But more and more, what we want to do as we're developing this sense of concentration and focus is we actually want to be able to shift our attention so we're feeling from the area of the body. That is a distinct difference. It takes time. And that's not to say that your eyes won't still be involved. Some, you know, it's just natural. But as we feel, we're building interoceptive awareness, and that's feeling the body from within the body, right? Or how do we feel an emotion as a visceral felt sense? And so as we learn to build interoception, we start to actually shift our attention. So we're feeling, not just thinking about the hand, not just looking down at the hand inwardly, but we're actually feeling like all of our attention, we're feeling from the center of the palm all the way down in it and feeling that sensation, the tingling or the warmth or, you know, what it feels like in the back of the hand. And when we're opening into concentration and attention training, this naturally is happening in the first 5 steps of eye rest. So it's happening in the 3 steps of Sankalpa: intention, heartfelt desire, inner resource. And we're building concentration and focusing attention during body sensing and breath sensing. And in fact, a lot of like mindfulness practices, when you're first learning any meditation, a lot of times the focus is on body sensing or breath sensing, because no matter how many times our mind wanders, which is what our mind does, the sensations of the body internally or feeling the movement of breath, it's so visceral. It's right there. And it's an easy anchor to come back to again and again and again. And it helps us to learn to focus, right? The second phase of mindfulness coincides with dhyana in yoga. So if you're, for the yoga teachers, that's the, you know, the 8 limbs. And this is our ability to sustain one pointed attention for longer periods of time. And we need to be able to do that when we move into some later stages like manomaya, vijnanamaya, and anandamaya koshas. So when we're proactively engaging sensations, energy, emotions, feelings, cognitions, joy, that's where we'll be deepening into this second phase of mindfulness, which incidentally is called mindfulness. So that's where we can stay one-pointed and sustain that one-pointed attention. So we're no longer getting distracted by random thoughts. We're really able to focus in. And then the third phase is known as awareness. And that's where we're opening up more and more into samadhi in yoga. And that's where we have an absorption as witnessing presence or awareness itself, or an absorption as being. And we're opening more and more as an unchanging equanimity, no matter the circumstances. So, you know, a complete absorption is that deeper phase of awareness where we become so absorbed that we're not distracted by what's coming and going, and we actually are able to drop back as awareness itself. So thank you, Kajal, for pulling that up. So what we're focusing on today, this morning, is Anamaya Kosha. Jennifer will take us into Pranamaya this afternoon. And there are a few kind of guiding principles that support us in the practice. We talked about 2 of them last night: non-separate wholeness and welcoming. And both of these are not something we do. It's an essence of who we are. Even welcoming isn't what we do, although we can welcome, of course. We can allow, we can acknowledge, I think was the word Jennifer used last night. I really like that word, by the way. I'm looking to see where she said that. I think it was acknowledge.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, acknowledge, be with, allow. But once we really drop into our essential nature, what we're finding as we open into this, that is, interconnected, our interconnected wholeness that's here with everything that's arising and giving rise to everything, is that welcoming is just an aspect of who we are. Because once we understand this ground and we start to experience it and feel it everywhere, how could we not welcome what's arising? Because it's just another expression of this essence in a unique form. It doesn't mean that we become passive. It doesn't mean that we agree with everything. We still have boundaries. We still have opinions. But we might be able to realize that in our heart, there is a degree of just being a welcoming presence. And that's absolutely underlying the practice itself. So there are a few guiding principles that we'll interweave. The next one is that everything is understood as a messenger. So not only are we abiding as a non-separate wholeness where we're welcoming whatever's arising in our meditation, but we're welcoming everything as a messenger. So at first, that means that we welcome whatever's arising just as it is. As if we try to fight with it, we're always going to lose. If you try to fight with reality, you're just going to lose. It's like moving furniture on the Titanic. The external circumstances, whatever's happening in life, battery dead in a car this morning. Okay. You know, thank goodness we have hybrid, right? If I were to fight with it and stress out about it, it would have affected my whole morning. I just didn't miss a beat. Just quickly, I mean, that's just by the nature of this practice, by the way. Just like, okay, well, I'll have to come on live stream for a while. I'll talk. We'll figure out what to do with the practices for the in-person portion. And this is how it is this morning. I need to regroup with my notes a little bit, but okay. I could have really fought with it. I could have been really mad, really frustrated, or anxious. And there would have been a time where I would have felt all of those things. And trust me, if we didn't have the capacity for live stream, I would have been feeling all of those things, right? So it's human nature. But even if they would have come up, then I would have welcomed those as they are. Do you see what I mean? So then there's nothing that we're not welcoming. But in that moment, I acknowledged the reality of life that was happening. I met it. And I didn't have that second or third arrow this morning of deep anxiety or anger that it was happening this way, right? Just, I was welcoming life as it was. I was allowing it to be there. I wasn't trying to, we took the steps to make sure we tried to get the car fixed. But in that moment, you know, we were flowing with it. So we're welcoming as everything is a messenger, then we're recognizing that we're opening up as being empty and receptive without preconceptions as much as possible, putting aside expectations. So if that's coming up, I'm seeing it, I'm putting it aside. My expectation this morning, if I would have really held on to it, would have been that I was going to be at the yoga tree by 8 o'clock or 8:05 a.m. I had to park that by welcoming everything as a messenger, right? Judgments, agenda. We have to be empty and receptive without all of those when we're meeting whatever's arising in meditation, if we're going to welcome it as a messenger. Because then when we do, we can meet it as sensation, which is the next. These are paired together. They're two distinct ones. Everything's a messenger and everything is felt as sensation. This is a somatic, embodied meditation practice. So we're going to be with the sensation. There's every emotion, every thought has a sensation in our body. Just a lot of times we're not paying attention or we're not sensitive enough to feel it. This practice of meditation, as all meditation, is making us exquisitely sensitive. So when we welcome what is, we're allowed to feel it as sensation. And we're able to track. We become so sensitive that ultimately we want to track when we want to change ourselves or when we're really wanting to change another. Because it's going to get in the way, ultimately. Now, I know that there are times where we want to change a situation, and that's natural, and that's being human. But in this meditative moment, right, and this will inform life, like this morning, if I was only wanting to change it, that would have been a second arrow onto what was happening. And my suffering would have continued. It would have deepened. But in the setting aside the expectation, meeting the moment as it was, you know, if we can then feel whatever's happening in our body, meet that so that whatever messenger is there along with it is totally felt and experienced, then whatever attention was bound by that messenger of sensation, let's say, or let's say it was anger, and we felt that, so we're not just staying with our automatic thinking around it, but we're breaking that habitual loop and we're feeling it now. We're feeling, maybe it feels like a contraction in the heart. Maybe it feels like a rock in the belly. And if we feel into that, so we're unpacking the anger, we're feeling it, we're welcoming it as a messenger, we might see that underlying it is a deep kernel of a message that is there for us. And it's there to help us come back into harmony with ourselves so that we can come into right action, if you will. We can respond accordingly so that we can just come back, feel more grounded, more centered. And now we're back, we're dropping into our inner resource and we're living our life. So this practice, we learn it as a meditation, that's a formal meditation, if you will. But the more that you understand it, the more that we realize that this is approach to life. This is interwoven to how I live moment to moment to moment. And it's tools or an understanding that helps us to meet all of life. And that's what's so transformational about it. So these underlying principles, everything's a messenger, everything's a sensation. So perceptions, thoughts, beliefs, images, memories, emotions, all of them are felt as a visceral felt sense, a sensation in our body. So that sets us up to open into Anamaya Kosha, which is body sensing, which is the fourth step of iRest. But before I do, just for if there's anything that would help to support you to have clarity, if there's a burning question, I could take one question. If there's anything that was unclear about what I was just sharing. And if you're in the yoga studio, please let Suzanne know and she can bring the mic to you. Yes, I think we have one person. I'm so sorry. Is it Gina or is there another way to pronounce your name?
Jigna,
beautiful. Hi, Jigna. Thanks.
Thank you so much for the wonderful feedback about Sankalpa. On Monday, you had sent a short meditation and you spoke about dissolving. Mm-hmm. And that I think was so helpful. And I wonder if we could, if you could speak a little more to that in connection with what we are practicing today in meditation, because I find that the dissolving element worked wonders, like, you know, sowing a seed and allowing the seed to dissolve so that, you know, the energy, the life force can bloom. So if you could speak a little bit to that.
Thank you. Absolutely, Will. You're welcome, Jigna. Thank you for bringing that forward. It's going to be a natural part of what I talk about in Anamaya. So you were just a great segue into what I'm going to be talking about. So thank you very much. Because what happens with Anamaya is we're meeting our body at the most, seemingly the most gross layer, if you will, which means the most dense, the sense of form, right? With boundary and border and muscles and bones. But as we dive into it as pure sensation, what we may open into is our very essence that is without boundary, without border, that the body of physical form reveals the greater body of great presence that's very expansive and spacious. That's just as real as the physical body. And as that happens, as we're moving from gross to subtle, which is a natural unfolding, what it may feel like is as we're opening as what's most, our most essential nature, that is very expansive. And at first with being, it's got a softness or a viscosity to it. I don't know if you all have started feeling into what it feels like to feel yourself as a witnessing presence or being, but it can have a softness to it or a silkiness to it, right? It may still feel expansive. We can feel it localized in our body at first. And then more and more, you might feel it as an expansive feeling. And we can play with this in the meditation where we feel one quadrant of our body. We'll do this for sure. You know, you might even try it now. You can feel the backside of your body. And you feel the whole backside, the back of your head, the back of your neck, back of your torso and your arms, legs. And then feel back into this space where it's your body is porous. Like the boundaries of your body, of your skin are porous and open. And they just open out. It might even feel like just a millimeter. It opens into this space back behind. Or for some, you may feel like you're opening out and you can actually touch the wall back behind you. Or even beyond the wall. But only go so far as to what's true for you. Maybe it's just feeling the caress of the space as it suffuses the backside of the body. And you're just opening up into that space, just a millimeter. Maybe it starts to open up more and more. And the space feeling, feel how it commingles with your body feeling. So there's more of an openness. And then at some point you might sense and let your attention shift from the whole backside of the body to the front side. So now you're sensing the whole front side of the face, the chest, belly, arms, legs. And first you're just letting it come alive as sensation. You're just orienting and sensing the whole front side of your body. Because we're not leaving the body behind. We're feeling the whole front side. We're feeling it. Maybe it's tingly. Maybe it's bubbly. Smooth or coarse. You might, maybe it's on an exhalation, just sense out, feel that whole front side of your body, like it's open, porous, open to the space. And as you exhale, you might sense out, feeling into the space, just a millimeter at first, or perhaps beyond. And then the space feeling, how you can feel it touching back. It's like the most loving embrace. You feel it suffusing or permeating your body. And then you might feel from the center of the heart, and it's like sugar dissolving into water. You just open out a little bit, front and back at the same time, left and right. How your mind tries to come involved, just drop down again, feeling down from that central core, whether it's your heart or your belly. You're just feeling the body. We're not denying it, sensing it, but sensing how it may expand. It's dissolving like sugar into water, just opening into an expansive, more spacious sense of just this ease of being. you're ready, if your eyes are closed, you can open them back up. So that's just a little mini meditation, right? How we're feeling what at first feels gross and subtle, but as we feel into it, all of a sudden it might become fluid. We might realize that there's vibration to what at first has felt solid, right? We can go in, this works beautifully for people that have experienced chronic pain. So we can shed, can let go of the label pain, and we feel it right in its intensity. We can drop into the center of it. We can feel the outer edges. If it's like a cube of sensation that feels really dense, you feel right into the center. All of a sudden, you might realize that what feels really dense and solid has some movement, some vibration, some fluidity. And if you go to those outer edges of that form of the cube or the sphere, you might start to feel the space that feels very spacious and open. You feel in, you feel the space, you feel in, you feel the space, you feel both. And there's a dissolving that may happen. Now, the key is we're not trying to dissolve it. If we try to dissolve it, it's going to fail. Go ahead, run the experiment. It might work for a while. But if you're really trying to dissolve it, there is a sense of refusing it, of not letting it fully blossom. We will miss the message, if you will. Yeah. So that's one way to approach it. We're going to talk about this in a whole nother way a few days from now. But hopefully that begins to open this up for you. Yeah. And the dissolving, I want to be clear, we're not dissociating in this practice. This is not about a refusing or a splitting off. Now, if you're somebody who easily dissociates, and we all dissociate, it's a natural human defense that comes online. But for some people, if we've experienced some degree of trauma, sometimes there is a splitting off because it's just too overwhelming for our system. It could happen when you break a bone. It's just too overwhelming, you know? But this is not dissociation. We're not refusing our body. We're not splitting off. We're not denying it. This is something called disidentification, and it happens naturally because when we feel into something, we're feeling right in, diving right into the center of it. We're going, as Jennifer says, more in. I love Jennifer kept going like this. We're going in and in and in, right? What happens when we go in and in and in is then all of a sudden we go, yeah, some of you doing that separate from me, right? There's a great video. We should try to find it. It's on YouTube. It's called like The Powers of 10. It was done in like the 70s. It's fantastic. We'll share it with you. Put it in the learning resources so you can watch it at the end. Or somebody, if one of our assistants find it, we'll drop it in the chat. It's really cool. You can watch it during a break. And it was done in like the 70s or something. And it's this, it starts out with space, right? The vastness of space. And it goes, it starts out maybe on Earth, and you open up into space, and then it goes all the way down, and then you go down into the smallest molecules, and then you open into spaciousness, right? And we know, we know from quantum physics that as they go into the smallest, atoms, the molecules, and all the small little tiny details, and the nanoparticles, and all the things that I'm not the physicist, but I can throw in a few words. What they find is that at its heart, there's vibration and there's space. Right? Something that's solid, and we go to it in its tiniest particles, we open into vibration into space. So this is what we're doing in body sensing. So everything is felt as sensation. This is anamaya kosha, right? Ana refers to the food sheath or physical sensations, the physical body. So everything is sensation, as I've been sharing, emotions, feelings, which are the felt sense. So when you hear us say feelings, we're not talking about emotions. We're talking about a felt sense. Emotions, thoughts, images, they're all experienced, and we welcome them as messengers when we open to them as sensation, because it gives us new information. And we welcome that as allies or a feedback system, right? So our body is this exquisite feedback system. And it's just, unfortunately, for most of us, we've lived like from here up most of our life, especially in Western society, right? In Western cultures. What somatic practices do, and this is a somatic form of meditation, is it opens up. So this whole exquisite miracle of the body can give us the fullness of the feedback that it's here to offer us. So as I was sharing, we're awakening sensitivity to the physical body and the energy body. Now the energy body is more in pranamaya, but it's right here. The koshas naturally open one into the other. So we start with this vital life force. It's known as prana or chi in Chinese understanding. It's just this underlying life force that's felt as vibration. It's a radiance or a pulsation. Spanda comes from what's known in an underlying philosophy that informs this practice, Kashmir Shaivism, that I'm going to talk to you about in a few days. There's a divine tremor, it's called, and it's known as Spanda. And it's where the unmanifest, the great mystery that gives rise to everything, as it manifests, it comes into the body, and then it goes through the body as prana, and that's the life force. And we feel it as vibration, the effervescence or radiance, pulsation. And then we start to open and we realize that this body is a kaleidoscope of information. So what we do is we're feeling different parts of the body, right? In body sensing. So we've done the sankalpa, now we're opening into body sensing. And what we're doing as we feel the different parts of the body is we're freeing our identification that's been bound with a certain part of the body. Again, this is the disidentification, but it's not from refusing or splitting off, it's from feeling. We feel the mouth. We feel all the structures of the mouth. And then all of a sudden the mouth might feel a little bit more spacious. And now next thing you know, we're feeling into the jaw, the ears, the eyes, we're feeling the whole body. And this is allowing us to do our attention training because attention moves. So we're learning how to focus attention and move it as a movement of the mind and develop more focused attention and concentration as we land and stay for a little while with different parts of the body. As we open into different parts of the body, any contractions that are there are going to be liberated as energy, because as we've just been talking about, whatever is dense and solid, when we start to feel into it, it's going to reveal more of its underlying energetic component, its vibration, its fluidity, its aliveness. So it liberates contractions of energy. That's not just liberations of contraction of energy of the physical body, which you'll feel. Some people will perhaps have lived with chronic pain for many years, and all of a sudden they'll be free of that intensity of sensation. And it's miraculous. It's a huge relief. Some people actually, this has happened, and they've come up after class and said, is it normal to feel numb when I practice eye rest? And the teacher, this is a dear friend of mine who did this with some veterans. It was Robin Carnes who did this at Walter Reed. And she said, well, can you tell me more? And what the person was actually describing was that they were free from this chronic pain. And it was so unusual for them that they didn't know how to relate to it. So they felt like they were numb, right? So, but we can also liberate contractions of energy that can come in the form of emotions that are liberated, right? Memories are liberated. All of these are liberated as we're feeling. And this reveals the body in its inherent omnipresence. And what that was as I was opening you, offering that mini meditation on feeling just the front and back sides of the body. And we'll do it in meditation longer. And we'll do it in all directions, that reveals the body of great presence, our sense of that unconditioned wholeness of being or awareness itself, that's vast. That's we can start to feel it's actually everywhere. And then we start to disidentify over time. As all of this is liberated, the whole process will happen. We'll liberate ourselves from gross thought. The practice will liberate us from subtle energy. It'll liberate us eventually even from bliss, from the I thought. These are deepening aspects of self-inquiry that happen, but we start with body sensing. Because we go from gross to subtle. We're learning how to distinguish the gross sensations and becoming more and more sensitive, exquisitely sensitive, so we can feel what's more refined, the more energetic components. Oftentimes in eye rest, we start in the mouth, we go to the ears, the eyes, and then we go down through the body. What we do that because we're following along a portion of the brain called the homunculus, and it's the motor sensory cortex of the brain, right? So it gives us our quickest and easiest sense of relaxation by going along the body and the way that it goes along through the homunculus. It's like the body relaxes the mind and the mind relaxes the body. So it creates this, and by doing it the same way over and over again, in our scripts, we offer it's the same offering of body sensing, very, very similar. And so it's because it creates this biofeedback chain of sensory associations. So eventually when you do this over and over again, if you start by sensing your mouth, all of a sudden you'll feel your whole body coming into relaxation response because you've done it again and again and again. And then of course we can pair in the inner resource and then we're just getting, you know, all kinds of goodness going on. So there's a variety of practices that we can use for body sensing. We can do a 61 point body sensing practice that's traditional in yoga. It's called Shavayatra. So not, you know, in traditional yoga nidra, you might start in other places of the body. We can start in the feet up. That's very, that's trauma informed because for many people, they may have had trauma associated with, you know, their mouth or their head or this region of their body. So it might feel more grounding to start at the feet and go upwards. Some people that suffer with insomnia, it works better for them to move from the feet up. But for the most part, you know, we offer people that they don't, you know, it's the practice is their own. So they don't have to go to places in the body that they're not yet ready to explore. So we often start in the mouth and move down. Jennifer offered progressive muscle relaxation tonight or last night, the contraction and release. So that's something you can do whole different parts of your body. That is great for people that don't have a good sense of their body, of being able to feel that interoceptive awareness, feeling the body from within. Because you may have noticed if you practiced it last night, when you squeeze and then you release, it naturally brings sensation, you know, it releases the blood. It, you know, you just feel all kinds of tingly or warmth in that area. So that helps people that don't have an easy access point to feel different parts of the body. So, sometimes you could weave in, if you're holding for a longer period of time, weave in the inner resource. What's it like to tense up the body, but equally feel the inner resource at the same time and then release? So there's lots of different ways that we can play around with progressive muscle relaxation. There's autogenic training, and we have the first script that you're doing today has autogenics built in. It's a little bit more directed than we typically do with our practice because our practice is a form of self-inquiry. So we're not trying to tell people what to feel so much as open it up, open the area and have them see what they feel, which is why you won't see in any of our scripts to say relax the mouth or relax the shoulder. Because 9 times out of 10, if you tell someone to relax, they tense up. But if you have them sense and feel, if you're going with what we've been talking about, no matter what the contraction is, no matter what the tension, if we sense it, we meet it just as it is, eventually it's going to reveal and release on its own just by allowing it to be there and sensing. So that's the difference. So, but with autogenic training, it's been studied for years. It absolutely brings people into deep sense of kinesthetic relaxation. And so So it's a little bit more, I think it's dropped into the script. Try it. It's so beautiful. It's such a great practice because it's so relaxing. It talks about feeling heaviness in the body, warmth in the limbs and solar plexus, a slow, calm, regular heartbeat, a cool forehead, slow, rhythmic abdominal breathing. And it does this in a particular order as you're doing the body sensing, and it's just very relaxing. So over time, just as a reminder, whatever body sensing we're doing, we're just giving them long enough to drop in and feel. So I'm going to move in these last 5 minutes to talk about, because you're going to move into your first group practice here in a little bit after the break. So for those of you in the studio, you're going to want to pair up. Suzanne will talk with you about that. There's going to be a group of two and then a group of three this morning, but we'll get there long enough so that everybody will be able to practice teaching by the time Janice gets there. Janice and I arrives for the second practice. So, but everybody else will pair off into breakout rooms for the live stream. But what we're doing here is we want to make sure that we don't talk through the script. You're reading from a script. You want to pace it so that you're already feeling it because you're reading it. So I don't want you to read it and not feel it. I want you to feel what you're reading. And then give a pause for a moment, because the person that's receiving it is going to be hearing it, but then they've got to translate that through their brain, and then they have to go down and feel it in their body. And that takes a moment. So if you're reading it like you're reading a book, it's going to be too fast. You want to give them a chance to really feel it, right? Because what we do is we're moving from solid to vibration to eventually something that's translucent to a, for many of us, we may open up to something that's incredibly transparent. So level one, we expect you to be script-free. So I'm going to shift now from anamaya and body sensing into working with groups. So we expect you to be dependent on scripts. We have scripts in the manual for you to use, and you'll be using that first training group script that's in your reference guide this morning. I don't have it in front of me, but we'll put it in the chat box and we'll put it up in the studio. Eventually, for those of you that stay on and come to level two, or maybe you're really interested and want to deepen into this, you come to certification, that's where you really work to become script free, but eventually you'll start to make it your own. But right now it's just too easy to confuse it with other practices that you already know. So we do ask you to stay with the scripts while you're practicing and getting to know the delivery and the steps, so that you want it in your bones. You want to know it and feel it inside and out. Initially, it'll feel like we're teaching iRest as a linear guided practice, but ultimately it's not a linear practice. It's not even a guided practice. It's a practice of self-inquiry. I know my students have really deepened when they tell me after class they've let go of my voice and they've been able to dive into whatever it is that was most calling them, right? And then they were able to rejoin my voice later. So this is how the teaching's going to go this morning. You're going to have two rounds of 60 minutes, right? The first 60 minutes, one person is going to teach. Now, the script says it's 35 minutes. It's probably closer to 40, 42 minutes, right? There's a lot of words in that script. It's an older script. So what we want is for you to have time to settle in, say hello. It's not about being super social. Your person will get comfortable. And then you're going to start to read the script. And we want you to have plenty of time. So, watch your pace, feel it in your body, anchor into your own inner resource, that sense of welcoming presence or well-being or just that ease of being. That's where you want to teach from. And then you'll offer the practice to them. And then for the last 15 minutes, they'll be able to come out and you'll be debriefing with them. And in the studio, Suzanne will be coming by to talk to you during your debrief, see how that was. And for the live stream folks, our assistants will be dropping in. They'll have their camera off so you don't see them, but during the debrief, they'll turn their camera on and they'll talk with you about the debrief and see how it goes. again, go slowly, give them time to move from the cognitive so that they can have their own somatic experience. So you don't want to read it like, everything arises from the underlying mystery, feel the mystery and the sense of being and awareness. I'm making this up, right? Nobody would be able to track that. That's way too fast, right? Versus sense the mouth, notice sensations, the teeth, roof of the mouth, tongue, alive with sensation, sense the jaw. Do you see how I'm pausing there? And there'll be places where it'll say to pause for 10, 15 seconds, maybe even 30 seconds. You know, give yourself time to really open them up. But when there's these little dots, you know, do it like I was just doing, kind of find your rhythm. Think of it like reading poetry. So it's not just instructions, but you want to give them enough space so that they evoke their own inner experience, right? Watch your tone of voice. We don't want it to be too sing-songy. That'll just lull them right to sleep, but you don't want to have it be like you're reading a textbook either. We're here, ask for help. Those of you that are in breakout rooms, live stream, there's a place for you to ask for help. And Denny Shea will pop in. I don't know that you'll need it. We'll be sure that you know what scripts to read. Assistants will be dropping in. You know, we're listening to support you. So don't, you know, I know it might be uncomfortable, but we're there to support you. And have fun. Like, that's the bottom line. Have fun. So one person's going to offer, the other person's going to receive. There'll be one group in the studio that'll have two people receiving. And then that's going to be the full practice, right? Then you'll debrief, you'll have a 15-minute break. And then when you come back together, whoever was receiving is now going to be the one that's going to be facilitating, okay? And Janice and I will be in by the second practice. So even though there'll be two people receiving, by the time we come in, everybody that will need a chance to teach from using the script will be able to do so. We'll have enough people. Thank you so much for this morning. What a delight and pleasure. Looking forward to coming in to the studio and have a good break. I'll hand it over to you, Denny Shea.